say something to Frank about coming over?
I did. I stopped him. Just said, you heading back over here? And he said, yeah.
Good. All right. I guess we're ready, Jim, when you're ready.
Ready.
Call our meeting back to order. And we'll start on the sunset, I reckon. Where'd all my documents go here? Here we go. While we're waiting on Frank, I'll just read these to you guys, if that's all right. We got, to whom it may concerning, paving the road in front of 290 Sunset. I hereby grant permission, use of my driveway as a turnaround point for county crews when needed for maintenance. If asphalt continues past my driveway. Respectfully, Anita Lawrence. Torrance. And by Judith Winter. Then I've got one from, I don't have a clue, R.J. Osgood or?
Yeah.
Says, I live at 260 Sunset. I've agreed to allow the sewer work done. Why don't you pave over road? We pay taxes. Also, I know you will.
Hi.
Bill us for the sewer. I haven't been happy with the work done. Please help us. And then we've got Linda. My name is Linda Henson. Come ahead. We're just starting on Sunset. I live at 260 Sunset, and I got a complaint. I'm handicapped. Y'all stopped blacktopping before our house. There's two more houses. I believe y'all owe us a blacktop road. Y'all tore our yard up. We have a beautiful yard beside the house. Y'all made a road. Y'all don't understand, without the blacktop, I track in mud when it rains. I have to get out three times a week. I go to dialysis. The Oaks bus comes after me, so sometimes they have to park in the road. So I track dirt in the house. I have to have my carpet shampooed every 2 weeks to a month. Thank you for your time. Let me hit. Yes, ma'am.
I put this in the
yes, ma'am.
Can I ask Frank some questions here?
Absolutely.
Frank, this road that we're talking about mm-hmm. would be established as a new addition to County Road.
The beginning, a portion of it would be. The beginning part of Sunset Drive is already county. It's called Y-48.
Uh-huh. But the maintenance ends before this 200?
Yes.
Okay. But the other part is 30-foot easement?
All of it, actually, entire, all of Sunset is 30-foot right away.
Okay.
It's a tight neighborhood. And
mm-hmm. What's the driving surface, sir?
16 or 18. I haven't measured it. It says here 14, but we tried to get 2 more feet when we were doing these sewer projects. We tried uh-huh. to get an additional 2 feet.
Now, who did the asphalt work that was done? The sewer department. Sewer department did it up to that point.
Yes.
Because I heard in the conversation that he brought up before that there was another road that the sewer had that was adjacent to or down the street right. or something that they had done that was in their agreements to do. This would not come out of the sewer department, but come out of road and bridge. This. Additional
yes.
200 feet of asphalt.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a few questions for you. The first one is, I saw a document, and I'm not mistaken, this used to be a paved surface, correct? The surface, this 200 feet we're in discussion, used to be a paved surface. Then the sewer project came through.
It's my understanding it was gravel prior to.
Gravel.
Prior to, and in the sewer contract it was to be put back in kind.
Right.
Now, citizens mentioned there was a road that didn't follow that stipulation, but how and why that was that way, I'm not sure. But as far as I know, the portion of Sunset that we're talking about, the 200 feet, was gravel prior to the job beyond the county maintenance line.
When you say gravel, you're not talking about base, you're talking about gravel, just a dirt road.
I'd have to look at the pre-construction film to tell you exactly.
Could you tell us, was it white base rock or was it just regular gravel, dirt road?
Gravel,
Right. We have a rather difficult decision to make here, and especially for me. The reason I say that is because that we have never taken in a road since I've been here 5.5 years that had less than a 40-foot road easement. Extension-wise,
I missed something. We don't have that? Is that right?
We haven't taken any new roads in with 30-foot easements at all.
No. There's not 40-foot?
There's 30 feet of right-of-way on the county-maintained section of Sunset right now.
Oh, on all of Sunset.
On all of it.
Not just the piece we're looking at.
Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you know of any? You've been here. You was on when I came in, and we set that policy. And I didn't know. I know we've made people that had 35 get 2.5 off of each side of the road, and then right up the street from where they are at on Hillside, we had 30 feet. We had a section that had 30 feet, and we made them get 40 feet on down before we would approve it. I am sympathetic with your situation. I understand all that we're dealing with here. I also understand that we've got a sewer project in that area, and that possibly the heavy construction work and stuff that we've done makes a extra big mess to address this one lady's issue here with the sewer project. Is there any sewer lines that have been in this 200 feet that we're talking about?
Would you have a seat here, John, just so that way we can...
Could I make a suggestion? And we wouldn't be breaking what we have said.
Sure.
Could we, if you have already had a sewer line go down this road?
Yes, the main sewer goes all the way through the paved area, and then it extends up through the... there's a road platted there, but the part of it near their home in question was never improved.
Right. John, do you think that we could approach the sewer board and have them pay for, if we extended this 200 feet, if there has been a dig-up process, and like you said, in the wintertime it's a bog and everything, do you think they might be open to paying half or all of that 200 feet?
I'd be glad to ask them tomorrow. That was brought up when Mr. and Mrs. Winter originally came to the sewer board, and we had some other areas within the project that had been kind of in similar situations that weren't paved, and it kind of come at us kind of out of left field because we didn't understand the dynamic of the conversations between LS&C and these folks. And that was the sewer board's thought, that we had other areas within the project that were gravel, which we would put gravel back, or if they were paved, then undoubtedly we would pave them or chip and seal. We would pave them.
Right. Well, chip and seal would be something that would be in the county's portion of doing something like this. Here's where I'm going with my conversation to try to help these folks out, and it may add to the confusion.
Yeah.
But the situation like this always does when you're trying to do something. There was roads in the Bee Creek project that were asphalted that were not the full 30 feet or the full 40 feet and were not under county maintenance at that point. But because we went through there and tore that section of road up, they were asphalt by the company. That was already an agreement. This would have to be an amendment to the agreement. But I'm just wondering if that would could be possible to approach them in that manner, or how do you other commissioners feel?
Well, I mean, if we take it into the maintenance program, we're going to have to follow some sort of guidelines to our road program, which is a sufficient turnaround. We don't like to use driveways to turn around because our heavy trucks damage driveways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we look at it, if we're talking about taking it in, we got to keep those things into consideration. And if I'm not mistaken, and I saw some emails earlier last week, the contractor had made some verbal commitments to paving this. Is that correct? Is that where we kind of...
Yes. As per the conversation with Mr. and Mrs. Winter when they first come to the sewer board, that was what that they had stated, that Mr. Yao with LS&C had communicated to them that they were going to be paving the roads within the next week or so, and it was their understanding by his communication that it would be paved up to their mother's property, which is the area outlined in blue there. And we followed up on that with LS&C, and Mr. Yao said that he had misinterpreted the plans or there had been a misunderstanding, and that they would not be paving up to that area. And I guess there was a discussion a week or so ago in which Dusty Emmerich, the CEO of LS&C, had agreed to pave from their concrete apron out to the gravel, but that's all that they would do. But Rod Yale stated that he had made a statement without fully looking at the plans.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
One thought I had was we don't have a turnaround as it stands on Sunset. And I know, as you said, Jim, driveway's not the premium way of having a situation. But we have done it in the past. And we've taken somebody's driveway and they've given us written permission to use it to turn our trucks around. Frank, you got any clue what kind of truck we use in there? Do we plow that with a 550 or something, or is it a big truck? Or
it's my understanding that most of Y Highway, because of the configuration, is done with a 550. Not all of it, but most of it is.
Now, is this a snow removal? This would be a snow removal. Mm-hmm. Route on this one. Mm-hmm. Where's the turnaround? Is the turnaround now the 200 feet up the road?
It's also my understanding they back out on this particular one. There is no turnaround.
They back out, which is horrible.
Yeah. So that was.
I mean, we got to address it no matter what I think.
So that was one of my leanings towards just taking in the rest of it and taking their driveway for the turnaround, and we saw that issue. And
I don't know when the date of photography was on this. There's actually no home there now. And that, according to the assessor's records, the home was built in 2009. But as you can kind of see up to the one home just down below it there, it just the pavement kind of ended there where it looks like there's some cedar trees or some trees growing there. That was kind of a base rock pathway that kind of had some grass that had grown established in the base rock and stuff.
More than likely, when the county took it in, maybe those two homes we're looking at weren't even there, maybe.
Possibility.
Because there's a sign still up there that says maintenance in. So.
Is this a steep grade?
No, it's level as it could be, Dan.
And we've got a member of the contracting company that admits that he made a statement that it would be paved or something.
Yeah,
that was yes.
Well, I'm leaning toward just what was said, I'm leaning forward, we have to have a turnaround. We could have one accident and trying to back out of this situation, especially at night, all that kind of stuff that could cost us more than the 200 feet of road. I don't know how to treat I want to treat everybody fairly, but if we don't have a turnaround, we need to get a turnaround. And I don't know whether that needs to be written up before we, or if we need to have it surveyed.
Well, normally we would get all the easements necessary or the agreements necessary prior to accepting a road, just to make sure that we can get the permission from the. It doesn't sound like it's just more of a formality, but if we're leaning that way, our traditional is we need to get everything up front before we make a vote, just so we've got all of our documents in order to take it in. I mean, that's normally what we do.
Yeah. Typically, the turnaround is surveyed, and then an agreement is written up between the party and the county that's a perpetual easement, regardless of the transaction of or the property owner. It goes with the easement goes with the property as a sale. So there's that cost, the recording of that, and another. And I don't think the turnaround would be an issue at this point in time, but also timeliness is important because. They are paving and hope to be done soon with the paving, I believe.
They've definitely paved that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure where they're working at this week. I think they did have some paving scheduled for this week. We'd have to execute a change order for contractor. And I don't know what that would be. We could probably get some put together this week. Getting a change order from them just to know what we're looking at if they did it. I don't know if the county could do it if you had a better price on material than what the contractor would present us or not.
Just mobilizing for a short 200-foot section may be easier for them just to do it since that's the only
thing. Yeah.
I mean, I think financially, even time-wise, I'd want to lean toward the contractor and just have them just extend it since he's already mobilized in that area. We learned that from manholes. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
But I still want to go back to think about, is there not a way that maybe we could get some of the sewer department to help pay for at least part of this paving?
I would think half.
I mean,
I would like to
see that, and that would make it a lot easier for us, for me.
If we don't do that, here's the proposal I'd like to present to you. If we didn't do that, then we put a base road in as a class 6 and make the turnaround, or if we can get half paid by the sewer board to go ahead and do the regular paving, or if, I mean, we run into complications here, and they've already told them and then they decided not to, we could run a chip and seal crew down there and chip and seal that end of it.
Okay.
I'd be more than glad to bring it up to the sewer board tomorrow and revisit the situation and see what their statements might be.
And that we might do that. Could you relay that or get with Frank and relay that as a message to them that we would like to have it paved, or if they consider half payment or whatever, and we would.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get with Great River and if they can get a cost from Dusty Emmerich with LS&C, so we'll know what kind of numbers we're talking about prior to the board meeting.
Road prep is going to have to be done anyway. I mean, the actual road prep is going to have to be and that could be a holdup. See, that could be something that the contractor says, well, look, I'm going to have to go in there and road prep this thing before we asphalt it. Mm-hmm. And so if we could take care of that part of it and get a turnaround. But this, we need to have some signed agreements with this turnaround.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back to, Cardwell's lived down there. I can't think of the name of the road. But anyhow, it's been a number of years ago. We took in a road, and it's kind of like this in a way. There was platted road on past it that wasn't built, probably never will be built or whatever. But we used their driveway as the turnaround, and we got an agreement signed by them. We didn't. we didn't survey it or anything like that. There was no need to. I mean, the driveway was there. I don't know, maybe Randy did something. But and I can find that name, look up that agreement, and just use it as a pattern. I don't see that there's a need of surveying it, is there?
Well, no, but a description of the width of the turnaround and all that, because if the property's sold...
Randy could draw a picture of it even.
If the property's sold to someone else, they need to understand that this driveway is county easement.
Turnaround.
Yeah.
It's not actually an easement, but it's a...
Well, they're giving us perpetual easement. They're getting letting us drive on their property forever. So it's an easement.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's why we'd have to get a survey to get the legal description and all that, because we would be defining where we will be on their property to turn around, I believe. Isn't that right? I mean,
that's what we've done.
That's what we'd have to do it no matter what for... it's not going to cost much, but the fact is we need to make sure that section of the ground is always there for us to turn around.
Yeah, if you got some new landowner in there and they wanted to contest it, if we don't have our ducks in a row, we could end up with a problem trying to buy easement that we've already put money in. So,
but I'm in favor of taking care of the situation, mostly because of the contractor had committed to it. But I want to fix the turnaround.
Yeah. Can you approach them about half payment and see what the sewer board says?
Tomorrow then, I guess?
Yes, sir. I'd be glad to.
Because we went down this road and they've had to put up with it, with the tear up and everything.
Yeah.
And we're estimating this whole thing is about $16,000? $23,000? I can't remember the number.
Unofficially, just verbal to verbal, Dusty spoke with me a week or 10 days ago and said around $12,000 to $15,000. Okay.
So we're looking at $7,500 or so from the sewer department.
Which comes out in 780 sales, it comes out of the sewer sales tax.
Right, anyway, right. Yeah. So anyway, I'm open to it. I mean, I think we can make it work and take care of the situation at the same time. So
we don't need any motions as of now, except for maybe the...
Direction. Give him direction.
Give him direction.
Sense of direction. Maybe wait till after Mr. Suti gets his understanding to see if we move forward with the survey. In a recording?
I mean, let me ask you a question. If the sewer board says no way, are we still going to go direction? We're still looking to do
it. Yeah, we're looking to do something. But let's say here's the way I want to approach the sewer board, and I think it's the best way. There has to be road prep done, and we're willing, the county will do the road prep. That'll take all the confusion away from the contractor coming back in and trying to fix that up. So we have the road prep. If the sewer board will pay for the asphalting, which should cut this price tremendously, then we should be able to get this done.
Maybe just basically direct Jernigan as a subcontractor to go
and finish this. Right, right. But we'd have the road prep already done, and we'd have to pull, loaders and everything else in.
I mean, I guess you're only waiting one day anyway to hear, because you're going to have a discussion tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You'll get a read from them tomorrow, even if you can't vote on it. You'll get a read from them.
Yes.
So, I mean,
okay. So how about we're talking a 3-minute meeting. How about we throw this back in on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever we're meeting?
That's fine.
Is that all right?
Yeah, and why don't we call Susie at the sewer board? You got 24 hours to post it and let them talk about it.
You can take care of that, can't you, John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Take care of that, because they don't start to 1:30 anyway, do they?
No, 1:30 is when our regular meeting.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Just post that, and then we'll get a decision. We'll know where to go from there.
All right, I'm going to tell Nikki to repost it for Wednesday when we're meeting.
Mr. and Mrs. Winter, are you the party we should talk to about the turnaround?
Yes.
Okay.
It is my mother's, however. She has given her permission to turn around and drive.
Okay.
Now, is that surface that would be put up? She just has a short apron. And the rest of the driveway would be paved by LSMC. Is that sufficient for a car to have the maintenance crews back into that? Is it deep enough, or how does that go?
The driveway, what is the driveway made of today?
Concrete.
Okay.
A little concrete.
About halfway out, and the other half was probably another 20 foot.
If they paved it up to as Snyder LS&C said they'd pave it up to the concrete already, was an agreement?
Yeah, take it from their concrete apron, which is basically back out the garage, okay, and extends a little bit further, right, then there's a distance from there on up to the road.
For the type of equipment that we use out there, that would be sufficient.
Okay, that was just one question I had. Yes, Rob did promise.
Right.
And that has to be part of the SUR board's consideration, is that someone did make a promise even though it wasn't upheld. And I go back to the Bee Creek project that where we made some concession on roads that were paved by the contractor, not by the county, but by the contractor. And as a matter of fact, we did do the work on some of those as the county. So it's no different than what we did on those that laid within city limits.
Definitely Table Rock Acres, because we come in and done some improvements while the road was already destroyed to some
right,
degree,
right,
widened and put in new culverts
right,
and different things.
So that's where we're waiting, I guess.
Okay. Well, we sure appreciate it.
You bet.
Mr. Suti, I have a sewer issue.
Hey, guys.
If you can
thank you.
In for a second.
Thank you. Frank will be getting in touch with you.
Could I get your number real quick? A sewer. I'm glad Mr. Suti's here. If I can find it here. In the past 2 or 3 weeks, four residents and Dusty Emmert have come forward to me and asked me to intercede in some of the issues that are going on out there, and I have yet to take any action like that. I refer them to your office or refer them to Great River Engineering. And I would hope to continue to do so, but the gentleman that met me in the hallway this morning, Mr. John DeKine,
Deacon.
Deacon?
Yeah, he came down to the office.
Okay, that's where I referred him to.
That's fine, yeah.
The frustration that I hear is, I'd like to send them in a place where they can... not just vent their frustrations, but get some resolution to the problems that they're having. And as in this particular case, he states he was promised topsoil and paving four months prior to some of the people that are currently getting it.
It's been brought up at the construction meeting, and LS&C said they'd get there when they get there. They said, do you want to pay extra for us to drop and send a crew and bring them over there?
Right.
Well, let's give you a change order. But I agree. I mean, last Thursday I had six people in there that afternoon, one right after another, on similar issues. And they're brought up, they're discussed. That's the response we're getting. Now, the road issue, there was an issue about maybe unsuitable subgrade there on Harden Street. They had proof-rolled that, and it's I guess the results of the proof-rolling was that it would stand up, so that question's been answered. We resolved that issue, and now they say that, well, we can't do any paving because we've been asked by the county not to pave until we get all of the topsoil down. So they use that when it suits them.
Right.
But they have been paving on areas where they still don't have the topsoil or even any rough grading fish. So
right.
Kind of,
right.
But that, you know, rarely have we ever had a sewer project where we could make some phone calls and take care of folks. And this has been one of those projects.
One thing that I like to do after there's pre-construction meetings, and something new to the area is what I call a post-construction meeting. And I've done this many times in the past. Even the pre-construction video is something I asked Great River to do prior to the Casey Road job. It comes in handy when we get to the sticky wickets like we're in right now. What I would recommend is to have a post-construction meeting, and some of the thing, and I would like to attend that, was where some of the paving has been done. The transitions from old pavement to new pavement, those areas should have been ground, but it wasn't in the contract, it wasn't written up that way. Maybe I should have caught it previous, maybe somebody else should have caught it. But there's other issues like that as we move forward on to the next sewer project. I'm hoping that we can learn from this one and move on to the next one and not have some of these same types of issues pop up again.
Yeah, I think it's just a combination of all the road department, sewer department, and then maybe usually the pre-construction meetings, we invite all the utilities there, but even prior to that, sitting down and going through the plans and looking at things, because you've got expertise depth mm-hmm. in roads that I don't have, and maybe we can take time to make sure that that happens on the next job. But one of the main things is that we're looking at from a specification standpoint is to have the right to stop review of pay request if we have issues come up that we're not getting results on. I don't really have the way to get control. That's pretty extreme. We never have had to even think about that in the past. Mm-hmm. But it seems like that's the only thing that gets attention is if the money could be held up, not to use that casually, but to use that as a last resort after, proper notification that if these issues are not addressed in some fashion, that we're going to stop review of pay request until they're reviewed. It's been very frustrating on us and down there too.
As we move forward in the next few weeks or months until this project is complete, am I correct in assuming that all contact with me, I should refer to your office? And
well, I don't want you to have to be bothered with that, Frank. And of course, yeah, anybody that's coming to me, and what I do is I take down their concerns. I get in touch with Great River Engineering. Sometimes while they're sitting there in my office, relay those concerns. They relay them back to the contractor. And then that's usually where the machine slows down.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay.
I had three people in this morning. I did talk to Great River to try to find out when they might be in there. He can bury it on both paving and topsoil restoration. His home is for sale. It's concerning to him that the road is damaged and that his property shows signs of impact because it hasn't been restored back yet. So he's concerned about his real estate issue, and I don't blame him for that. But,
right.
All right. Thank you, John. Are we done with John?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Get
Thank
Susie
you, sir.
To put that on our agenda or their agenda.
I sure will.
What's next?
The design of the curbing next to the judicial facility on Shorty Cooper.
Hold on to get Chuck to speak. I don't know if you heard the audio minutes from that meeting when you were gone on
Somebody
Monday.
Gave me an update, yes.
Okay, good.
Okay. Around who it was. We've extended the curb.
Jimmy wants us to talk about it and see if we can't add some parking. You're talking about, that's the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about making a loop
uh-huh.
and then having parking there. Mm-hmm. Number, yeah, it looks good to me.
Okay, go ahead.
The question at currently is the design, when we had walked it, we talked about going down 20, 30 feet, doing a curb cut versus a continuation or a continuous radius.
I got a scanned copy last week because I think you dropped off in the office.
There's two different plans here. Oops. This would be a curb cut of what's existing there now. The other one would just be to do round face, a continuous radius. One of the concerns was that we, whatever we do, tries to make it look that so that the citizens don't think that this is Shorty Cooper.
That was my biggest concern, and Jimmy's also, is that we don't want people pulling in thinking it's Shorty Cooper. And so his thoughts were leave the curb, existing curb there, cut it a little further down the entrance, so people don't go down there thinking it's Shorty Cooper. That was the biggest concern I had and Jimmy had also.
Right.
And Dan, I mean, when we were walking, that's obviously, we don't want that to happen.
Right.
And I'm in full agreement with that. The only thing is that aesthetically, the radius would look nicer. We hope to make this some type of landscaped or minimal landscaped island because of the utilities. From a vehicle movement perspective, this may be an easier movement also.
The radius?
Yeah.
How far down are we talking? Do people feel like they're going down? My thing that we're talking about was make sure they feel like they're going down a driveway versus making it so big that they think it's a street entrance.
The width of this non-shorty Cooper Drive, the width would stay the same. I think regardless of which design we decide to do here, we'll still have to sign this island that says for county use or sheriff's use or not a public parking lot.
I'm indifferent about the design, gentlemen. If you guys have got an opinion, I don't have an opinion. Well, as long as we do our part to try to alleviate traffic from people thinking that it's Shorty Cooper.
I think either way, signage is going to have to be put up.
Right.
It really got designed different than what I was thinking about.
Okay.
I was actually thinking about the parking on the other side. As you lay your parking off, I thought the parking would be, again, the curbing that already exists on the other side.
When we talked about that, the message I got back was it could go either way, but to make the very first turn when you come in here, you'd probably be three spots down to make that swing. So at the time that we last discussed it, it could go either way.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Instead of going down there and measuring.
And one thing that bothered me a little bit was the fact that this, although it appears on the slower side here, that's going to have to be built up. If you pull in down with it, your nose downhill, this thing here is going to have to be built up probably 2.5-3 feet.
Correct.
There's some build up there.
Yeah.
And we can still, I mean, the good thing is the way if you physically walk it, the downhill side, you can landscape it real nice. Okay. Down below it, so that will help from a landscape. And this was going to be landscaped anyway, so
that's. You guys seem to have it under.
Well, I mean, I'm fine. Is walk Frank and Frank is supposed to be. I mean, what he's done is looked in the best scenarios.
If we're going to have to sign it anyway, I'd say make it where it is easier for people to get in and out in.
Right.
Which would be this, right?
Correct.
All right, that's fine with me. Do we know what the change order would cost yet? Do we have a cost
estimate? Harlan talked with the field supervisor, and they would honor their unit price that's currently existing. So I don't have a measurement for what's.
It's pretty reasonable, I thought, though, on that.
Although unit price is $11 a lineal foot, which is very, very good.
So do we need to get a change order up before they can continue on?
Yes.
You're working with Great River, right?
Great River on?
The change order. Isn't Great River doing the engineering for Shorty Cooper?
They have in the past. They've not been involved.
Okay, so you can
recently. They did the design work on there. And.
So you just got to get a change order to us so we can approve it. So we can vote on it.
When do you want us to schedule that, to vote on that change order?
Pretty quick, the way it looks down there.
Maybe Wednesday afternoon, right after the other issue we were going to talk about.
Yep.
So, after post, okay.
After
the 1 o'clock we have posted. Post Wednesday.
Next thing I will hand out, last week we talked about sick leave and what do other counties do around here, counties and cities and other governmental agencies. I won't ask you to read this, but I have marked some highlights on my version. You might just want to take this with you for reference later. But we did find a couple of counties, one county and MoDOT, that does have a buyback program on their sick leave. The one county is Greene County. They buy back half the people's sick leave. And then MoDOT has a unique program. Green County, I'll go back to Green, they have a limit that people can accrue, and then they purchase half of that back. MoDOT is the most gracious. They allow people to accrue up to 168 hours per year, and then as long as they put in service of 10 years or more, those 168 hours per year can be converted into retirement time. And so I've did some calculations, and what it can do is extend someone's service time from 3 to 6 to 8 months at a 30-year career. So people at MoDOT, it's not uncommon for them to stop working 3, 6, or 8 months prior to them actually leaving their job site. So there are two in the general vicinity that do have sick leave buyback program, and that's what you asked me to do, was look into that, and those were the responses that I found.
Gotcha.
And we have, is everybody aware that Gene is talking about retiring? Right?
Gene last Monday officially gave me his resignation date. I didn't see anything in writing. I think he took it over to Dixie. So I'm assuming that all of you have heard that. In regards to his replacement, maybe I'd like to have a meeting with all three of you. We can discuss how we want to move forward with that replacement.
I think that's a good idea.
I don't have any preconceived notions at this point in time, and I would value your input as to how we move forward with that. Maybe next Monday. Would that necessarily be an executive?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, if we need to talk about individuals, I'd like to do an executive, because we'll be, I'd say judging, but we'll be evaluating verbally each one that maybe can be considered.
Next Monday during this time frame, if everyone's available, will it?
I think we're scheduled. My question for you, do you remember the date that Gene, his last day?
June 1st, I believe.
Is it June 1st? Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember. The 10th is next Monday. Yes, we are scheduled for 1 o'clock.
Okay. I'll try it. Do you have a 2 o'clock today also?
We have a 2 o'clock, and the 2:30 is the transportation meeting.
Okay. 2:30 is transportation. I'll try and speed through this because, Mr. Strand, you also called for an executive last week, and that's this afternoon, isn't it?
I think that concerned this Gene's deal.
Okay.
That's the reason I wanted to call it.
So we're just pushed off to next week then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like I still need to hurry. Another issue I have, mileage reimbursement for our supervisors. There are supervisors that are on call throughout the weekend, including myself. They get calls from Sheriff Department, and we no longer take the vehicles home. So we've had several instances where people are responding to the job site to take care of an issue versus going to the yard to pick up a vehicle and then going to the job site. It's quicker that way. It's the primary reason they're doing it. If they were not able to respond just in a private vehicle and they needed a county vehicle, then they would be reimbursed. The way they're doing it with their private vehicle, they're not being reimbursed. What I'm asking for is the ability to document the times and mileage that they responded to the particular incidents and have them reimbursed, similar to how some other people in Road and Bridge are.
Yeah, mileage rate.
Okay.
Good by me.
Good with me. He's nodding. Do you want to say something, Dave?
No.
Late last week, either Thursday or Friday, I received a call from the vendor that does our tire pick up at the transfer station. As of last week, they could not tell us when they would bring another trailer. They picked one up and told us they don't know when they'd bring another one in. It appears there's new ownership of the company as of a little over 2 weeks ago. During that phone conversation, they told me that due to conditions beyond their control, they would need to raise the per tire cost. Our current cost is 80 cents. The It would need to raise that cost to $2 per tire. That's currently what we charge the public. And also their freight would go from 160 per haul to 200 per haul. I told her that I would need a trailer because DNR issues, I need a trailer there, and that I would talk to the commission this week to apprise them of the rates. I don't think I was here when this program was initiated. I can't find any contracts in regards to this program. I don't know if this is something we want to go out to bid on at this point in time.
I would. I mean, if our rates are going up, we need to go ahead and have direct Linda to create a bid.
Yep.
See if there's some other vendors out there.
I agree. Yeah.
You guys agree with that?
Raise, yeah.
That could take
3 weeks.
Three to four. In the meantime, do we want to continue on at these escalated rates? We don't have a choice, I don't believe.
We have to because we're... Do those rates go into effect immediately?
That's what they said. That's why they wouldn't bring another trailer until I got back to them.
So have they put this in writing to you?
No, but I asked them to.
Yeah, if you would, because if we're going to, you know, to cover ourselves, I would like to see something in writing so that...
They told me that they were making phone calls to all of their customers. I had told them I would like to see something in writing. They said that's not their procedure. I said I'd like to see something in writing anyways. Okay. Mr. Strahan, in regards to Mrs. King, tomorrow at 11:30, I'm just making you aware that Great River Engineering and myself will be reviewing the pre-construction video, and we'll also be making a visit to the site to assess how we want to move forward from there.
I think that's a good idea, and then that it will be presented to the whole commission, the entire commission, from my concerns last time.
Okay. Update on Winkle Creek, the right-of-way issue. I did get in contact with the gentleman, Mr. Gunter, last week. He was rather upset. I told him that the county would like to get this behind them. It's been a long-standing issue. He would like to be given several weeks to make personal contact with the other utility companies and let them know that he thinks their prices are outrageous and he'd like to.
If he wants to, I mean.
Is he thinking we're pushing him or something? Because that doesn't make sense.
I think he's upset that the rates that we're being told by the other utility companies is ridiculous and he wants to go negotiate new rates.
I have no problem with it as long as he wants to take the time to do it. I thought this was a pressing issue.
I did too. So if he wants to do it, then I guess we'll put, I mean, my thought is from one, let us know when he wants to move forward. Okay. Is that what he's basically saying? Give me time to go.
That's where we're at right now. Yes.
I would just make it clear that when he's ready to move forward, get back with you, I guess.
Okay.
I thought it was a pressing issue myself.
I did too.
Okay.
There's active construction on the house right now.
Okay.
Last week I asked, I advised you that I'd be working on a speed limit ordinance and how we would go about changing that. I've done further research. I have an informational package that I've put together that I'll put in your inbox. It talks about its most common residential speed being 25 miles per hour. But it's also not uncommon to find residential speeds throughout Missouri and or the United States that are 30 miles an hour. In reducing it to 25 miles an hour, several scientific data things that I thought were interesting. One is that it actually reduces speeds 3 to 4 miles per hour based on studies and radar. Two, it reduced what they call cut-through or travel-through traffic through residential neighborhoods by a significant percentage because the speed limits were lowered. So last week I asked you to give it consideration. We'd have to have 3 public meetings to do so. We do have the authority to make that change. And my question today is, do you want me to continue to move forward? And have you given it consideration as to what type of speed you would like to see in residential neighborhoods? This would minimize the signage that we would have to place throughout town. It would be an ordinance where we'd have several strategically located. Prior to entering any development, we'd have a speed limit sign that stated the limit and referring to the ordinance, and it would greatly help in our lack of consistency in the speed limits that we have in residential neighborhoods currently.
What do you expect? I mean, I've not paid that attention as far as subdivisions. Do we have all kinds of speed limits?
We do. We have 15, 20, 25, and 30 is not uncommon countywide.
So if we went this direction and it carried forth, would be setting one speed limit for everything? Is that what you said?
There's several different types of residential neighborhoods. There's rural residentials, which is something you'd find in eastern Taney County, which would be maybe a dead-end road and may have six or eight homes on it. That doesn't really fall under the category of the typical common residential that we're talking about. Would be like a development in Branson or Country Club Estates would be a development that would, those are the types that we're targeting.
I see those places like Country Club Estates and other places where we have parking on one side of the road, the speed limit needs to be lower. Kids run out from behind a car, you're going 25 miles an hour, you cannot get stopped. So I would see that any place that we have a parking sign on one side or the other of the street that we need to lower the speed limit. And then everything else can be standard, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. But you could not get stopped if you were doing 25 miles an hour and a kid run a basketball out across the between cars.
In that informational package, you'll see some statistics that talk about serious injuries versus death in residential areas based on speed limit. And as you go to 25 and lower, the number of deaths are greatly reduced and the seriousness of the injuries are slower because, just of what you're saying, the people have the ability to slow down. So that makes good sense in neighborhoods that have modified parking or limited parking due to geometry restrictions, that those speed limits would be different than, and they would be posted that way too prior to
right.
going into that. Moving forward, Mr. Strafis, you asked me to look at a parking situation on Lafayette. There's some type of club there or sports activities center. Mm-hmm. We do have 40 feet of right of way. There's 16 feet of driving surface. Haven't made the decision yet. What I'm leaning towards is making the additional parking, actually making the no parking on the club side. One reason, the ditch is more significant, deeper. Two, there's some landscape and signage obstacles which would limit the number of spaces that you could really gain there. So the obvious choice to me would be make that the no parking and then go to across the street where we have the right-of-way to do so. Having not spoke with the resident, they may or may not be upset which would appear to be people driving or parking in their yard. So my...
Do you guys know what the situation is? I think Danny heard it. Maybe the lady came and visited me. On Buchanan, there's this... what is it called? The Branson Sports Club. On weekends, they're becoming very popular, the sports club, and people are parking on both sides of the road. And this last 2 weeks ago, it was raining so hard that no one wanted to put any wheels in the ditch. So it got so narrow that no cars from the neighborhood behind Lafayette could actually get to the street. So what they had to do was stop, go in there, tell the sports club to announce that their cars are going to get towed if they don't move it. The residents are concerned from a safety perspective if they can have emergency vehicles back there. So I presented this to Frank and said, would you check on seeing what, do we have parking? Do we have no parking? Do we have parking on one side of the street?
And I have a concern with 16-foot driving surface in front of a commercial.
Right. So anyway, that's where it all stemmed from an individual coming and talking to me.
You might need to go to 22 or 24 because we've got that on our regular county roads some in places. So.
And that's...
It's do you know where we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
It'd be and hard limited. To 22 surface. 22
I know, but anyway, whatever we could get, you know.
Sure. Parking on one side may fix a lot of the problem because then you could at least have enough to get around. But so you're still assessing and then you're going to make recommendations?
My recommendation would be to make the parking on the opposite side of the club due to the topography and the availability of more spots. It would be in our right-of-way. We may have to put some markers
but
out
you
there.
Haven't talked to the residents, though.
Have not.
So I think that needs to be pursued before
yeah.
before we... make a decision.
Yeah, but go ahead and talk to the resident. I think something needs to be done because they're not going to get any less busy.
The last thing I have on my agenda, Mr. Eddie Wolf. Do you know who that is, Danny?
I don't know him.
He stopped by with one of the developers from Branson Creek development, the 7,000 acre near the new airport. And they have an influx of money from out of state that would like to see a unique residential opportunity happen in Taney County. And it goes against our development code, and it goes against the road standards. So they came to me and showed me plans. I told them I would make apprise you of the situation and that the road standards, told them how and why we developed them, and there's also a paragraph in the road standards that talks about a variance to any of the standards, but that variance would need to go through the commission. What they'd like to do is develop an equestrian-type community with small cabins built on stilts and keep rural residential with horse stables and horse riding paths, but they'd like the roads to be an alternative surface other than asphalt or chip seal, and they're looking at gravel roads for this residential community. So I'm just letting you know that I had that conversation, told them that they would need to go through planning and zoning. Planning and zoning follows the planning and zoning guide, so that's against that, so they would probably need to go to Board of Adjustment. But as this moves forward, I wanted you to be aware that there's a unique situation out there. And
this is near Branson Hills, you say?
Branson Creek.
Okay.
That's all I had on my agenda today. 5 minutes to spare.
I don't have anything. Gentlemen?
I don't guess I do either.
Yes, an update on your transportation. So you took five members of Road and Bridge somewhere to asphalt or oil or...
We went to a Willow Springs for a chip seal seminar, about a five-hour seminar on chip seal. Most of it was classroom oriented, and then there was about an hour of chip seal afterwards. Classroom was informative. The chip seal demonstration itself was something that sort of made us proud of the work that we do in Taney County, because the actual chip seal was poor workmanship. It was a great demonstration of all the things not to do.
Yeah. Okay.
In the demonstration, the classroom was a lot of good things in it.
All right. I just remembered you saying something last week or the week before last about going. All right. That's it then.
Okay. Mr. Pell?
Just FYI, I got an email. A row down at Reeder. They had contacted me about a problem because they can't get an ambulance. I don't think you need to go, Frank. Somebody showed me a picture, and there's no road platted or anything. It's a bad situation for them.
Hmm. Not county maintained at this point in time.
Anyway, if you see your email, I'll try to pick that ball up and run with it. Hankins, I believe, was the name.
Oh, yeah, I saw an email from Nick or something.
Anyway, I may call on you to go look at it with me, but I don't think we'll need to.
Okay. I'll be back 2:30 for the transportation update.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're coming back anyway?
Two-minute recess.
Yes, please.
Okay, 2-minute recess. While you're gone, would you...